Outside of the Bible, the greatest two documents that have ever been penned are the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And the reason those two documents have lasted for 230 years is because they were written on the knees of the framers.
This is the voice of the Colorado Liberty Movement.
I'm not a sixth grader. It's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I studied the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated.
Live from Studio 56, this is Grassroots Radio Colorado.
Let's be clear about one thing. We're not here to rebrand the party. We're not here to put a fresh coat of rhetorical paint on our party. We're not here to abandon our principles in a contest of government giveaways. We're here to rebuild a country.
Now, Chris Cook with Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560.
Freedom, liberty, truth.
American woman said get away. American woman, listen what I say.
Welcome to the second hour of Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook, and you can hear Ken Clark of Freedom 560 not only tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock p.m. right here on your radio dial. You can hear him right now because he's sitting in studio with me.
I am here. I just was here earlier today.
Yeah, it's just like
I was talking about all kinds of stuff. It's kind of like deja vu.
Do you have a cot in the back somewhere?
Yeah, I go sleep in my car.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, when Initiative 20 gets enacted, I won't be able to afford a home.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking about healthcare and these socialist, collectivist, Marxist, communist idiots who have decided that they know better than we do how we ought to live our lives and what our country ought to look like and everything else.
Well, and you had left the last segment talking about something, and we were talking about immigration and Obama's blanket amnesty and the hits that's taken in court. Well, under this, it talks about residents of Colorado. It never mentions the word citizen, ever. It talks about residents. So it's not making a distinction between people that are here legally or illegally.
Right.
We're all going to be paying for everybody.
Right.
You know, and that's just wrong.
As long as you're being paid above the table, which I mean, when you increase the tax rate to almost 15%, you are going to create a black market for labor.
What is the Colorado income tax now?
4.63%.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to 15%. We're going to be as high as California.
Yeah.
Oh,
actually, I think that's higher than California.
Is it?
I think it is.
Wow.
New York. Last time I checked, I think New York was about 12. I could be wrong on California if anybody knows. It's been a while since I've done a California tax return, like 10 years. But yeah, that's insane. You create a black market for labor when you do that. You push people underground when you do something like this.
Well, how many businesses are going to fold? How many people are going to be pushed out of Colorado?
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, and it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Plus, how many insurance agents and insurance companies are going to flee the state? All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. I mean, try getting homeowners insurance when you don't have a health insurance anchor.
Exactly. And that's the tragic thing. I mean, the unintended consequences of stuff like this just absolutely drives you nuts when you can see beyond the first feel-good step. You know, the first feel-good step is, oh, yes, we want everyone to have health care. Oh, yes, we want all this to happen. We want to welcome everyone with open arms. But when you start looking beyond that first step at what the unseen consequences, Henry Hazlitt and Economics in One Lesson, you read that book and you start looking beyond those consequences, it's absolutely infuriating and frustrating to try to get people to see this.
This board will have more power than the entire Colorado state government.
Absolutely.
And it will have more money than the entire Colorado state government.
Much bigger budget. And
oh,
they
yeah.
can determine who gets benefits and who doesn't get benefits and who gets to live and who gets to die. And yes, they have plenty more power than the General Assembly and anybody else in the government.
Yeah, but I just love the idea that they're going to force the I know a lot of those legislators down there, and I know what they're thinking right now.
Yeah.
And we do have an FCC license, so I won't repeat what I'm sure they're thinking.
We'll just put it this way. Good luck with that. don't think that's going to happen. So I want to move on to immigration because this is a very, very important ruling. A couple months ago, back in February, a federal district court in the state of Texas upheld an injunction against Obama's amnesty, his executive amnesty. And that was, of course, kicked up. It was appealed to the Fifth Circuit by Obama, by the federal government in the Department of Justice. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals panel of three judges ruled yesterday that that injunction was to stay in place. They refused to lift the injunction.
And immediately the White House came out and slammed the court for the immigration ruling, saying the judges chose to misinterpret the facts and the law.
Not just misinterpret, misrepresent, which is even worse. It's more volitional.
And how many times this is a guy, this is an administration that is completely lawless. Let's go back to the 2014 elections. We put Republicans in power so that Mitch McConnell, of all things, God, what were we thinking? So Mitch McConnell, of all people, could become president of the Senate. But we gave them a Republican majority in the Senate because, remember, during when we only had the majority in the House, they kept saying, well, we don't have enough Republicans out there to defund Obamacare. We don't have enough Republicans out there to stop this amnesty thing. So we gave it to them. What did they do? Nothing.
Absolutely.
And they rely on the courts. And it's just wrong. But fortunately, in our case this time, the court stuck to its guns and interpreted it correctly.
They did, and that was actually one of the arguments against that the government was using against this injunction was that the courts, they said, don't have a right to review the president's actions. Are you kidding me? Have these people never heard of checks and balances? It's insane that they think that there should be no limit on the power of the office of the president.
There are members of Congress that have come out recently warning Republicans, you better be careful if you try to infringe on this president's power.
That sounds ominously like a threat to me, don't you?
Well, it was a threat, and I can't remember the guy who said it, but I mean, there are a lot of them out there that do believe that the president should be imperial. Now, keep in mind, we have a Democrat president. We have Barack Obama, a progressive Marxist, okay? He has no love for this country whatsoever. He does not care about the welfare and prosperity of this country. He
His
doesn't.
Actions certainly point that way.
His actions do point that way. I'll never back down from saying that. So this guy is an imperial president. He believes that he is. And take a look at what Congress has let him get away with up to now. I mean, just today he enacted the water regs through the EPA, which is basically the land grab of national proportions.
Yeah. They've taken over the entire country.
Yeah.
The EPA now has jurisdiction over all but like 3% of the entire country.
I'd say it's bigger than that, because if there's 3% of the country that would never have a water puddle on it.
There's some parts of the Sonoma Desert.
Okay.
It never rains.
Okay. You win.
How's that? Death Valley.
But that's it. I mean, if you.
Exactly.
So why would we think any differently? And the problem with Congress right now, it's run by Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, and they are much more happier relying on the courts to do their bidding than to actually do their job.
I still, and I'm gonna slightly differ with you on this, because that was the argument of the dissenting justice on this three justice panel on this Court of Appeals, was that this is a political fight between Congress and the president, and therefore the courts should not be involved. That was part of the dissension. And I do not agree with that. This is and the issue is whether or not his actions, the actions that he took as president, are in fact legal under the Constitution. I believe it's prime for legal review. And I don't want politics in there. I want law to actually prevail.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't this litigation started by the states?
Yes.
See, therefore, the states have every right to intervene into this particular battle because it affects the states. Now, I think the justice is right. It is a political battle between Congress and the president, but that does not prevent the states from saying, you know what, this affects us, and we're sticking our nose in it because the state or the federal government is supposed to only have those powers granted to it by the states.
That's exactly the way it goes. But so yeah, there were
tell that to Mitch McConnell.
There were 26 states in this. Now, the government had another argument that I want to talk about when we come back, because I thought this was actually an interesting argument, and it was interesting the way that it was decided by the court. I'm Chris Cook. The other voice you've been hearing is Ken Clark, host of Freedom 560 here on KLZ. And you're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. That's another point where we need the webcam, because I always do that drum solo.
Oh, okay.
I don't do it well.
When I used to host Grassroots Radio with Jason, I used to have what I referred to as a happy dance. And he really, really hated it when I did that. So did Charlie, didn't much like it either.
Is it this one?
Yeah, that's the one. And they did not like that. And they just, wow, it was bad.
Yep. See, that's why you and I get along. We have the same stupid looking happy dance.
Yeah, okay, that works. I like that.
That works. So I'm Chris Cook. That's Ken Clark.
There will never be a webcam, ever.
There are good reasons for this. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. If you want to talk to us, rather than just yelling at your radio, you can actually pick up the phone and call us, 303-477-5600, and then you can yell at us in person.
We were talking about this Fifth Circuit Court decision that came down upholding the stay on Obama's amnesty. So you had mentioned that there was another argument made by the dissenting judge.
No. This is another argument made by the government that they wanted. This was another request. Okay, so they appeal the case from the federal district court up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And what they want is two things. They want them to lift the injunction. And barring that, if they decide not to lift the injunction, they want the injunction to only apply in the 26 states that are part of the lawsuit.
Really?
Which I thought was fairly creative.
That is very creative.
I think that's fairly creative. Well, the justices declined to do that as well, intelligently. It just blows my mind.
Does grasping at straws come to mind? I mean,
desperately.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, are you kidding?
It's absolutely stunning sometimes. And the whole thing, obviously, this entire deal for me, and you and I know that this is all about votes. I mean, that's really what this is all about. I mean, we know that it's about getting a voting block for the Democrats, whether these folks are citizens or not, to be able to participate in elections.
You know, there was an update on Newsmax.com, and it says the administration, it says U.S. won't, but what they mean is the administration will not appeal this to the Supreme Court. Okay, they're not going to take it to the Supreme Court.
I hadn't heard that yet. Okay, good.
In other words, Obama's caving.
Yeah.
Okay, he is caving. So he is not going to appeal. This just happened a few minutes ago. So Obama's not going to appeal to the Supreme Court. He probably knows he'll get his head handed to him like he has so many other times.
Two decisions against him already.
So what does that mean? And here's the thing. You're right about this, Chris. It is all about votes. It is about building a voter base so that Democrats will never be voted out of the White House ever again.
Yep.
And they want to win the state because right now we've got a majority in the states in our state assemblies are Republicans. I mean, it's a super majority. It's huge.
It is. Yeah.
That's a problem for them. So if you can't, like they said in the movie, A Braveheart, if you can't, what did he say?
You can't quote the movie. Don't bring it up.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're bringing in all these people as surrogate citizens to vote in our elections. So it brings to mind a question. Now, we beat back cap and trade in 2010, right?
Yeah.
Now the EPA is implementing all of it.
Yep.
Do you think Obama's going to care whether or not this injunction has been passed against him? Don't you think he'll implement it anyway?
Well, here's the thing. The judge ruled against the federal district court judge, Judge Hannon, ruled against this expansion of executive amnesty in February. After that, they issued 118,000 papers, basically permits, to illegal aliens. to illegal aliens.
Right.
After the injunction was in place, they did this. He is going to completely and totally disregard the law, period. End of story. And what are we going to do? Send in the Department of Justice to arrest him?
Well, Loretta Lynch.
You gotta be kidding me. This is the problem. I mean, where are the teeth in this system? Other than impeachment.
There aren't any. I mean, and
other than impeachment, that is the only teeth that we've got.
Well, but we elected a Republican House and a Republican Senate in order to give teeth to the government. And what have they done?
I dispute that statement. We elected a bunch of spineless wusses to the House and the Senate.
Well,
there are some good conservatives in both houses, but
I would agree with you. And the answer to that question was they've done nothing. They have turned they have subordinated their authority not only to the regulators, but to the president himself.
They handed it over.
They flat out refuse to take a stand and live up to their own constitutional authority.
And then that's what they continue to do. Mitch McConnell continues to cave every single time we turn around. He is not just caving, he's catering to the Democrats.
He's complicit. He's an accomplice.
93% of the legislation that has passed the Senate has passed the Senate because of the Democrats since Mitch McConnell's been the majority leader?
I got nothing.
I what do you say
I got
to that?
Nothing.
Yeah, there is nothing to say to that. And it's just absolutely insane. But I want to come back to this immigration thing because we've got
don't we have a caller?
No.
Oh. No, we don't have a caller. I'm sorry. I'll let you host the show. How's that? I'll just be here as a guest.
I'm like, oops. He's pointing out the window. I'm like, is there aliens landing? What's going on?
I saw a number on the board, and I thought there was somebody on hold. So my bad. I apologize.
What is going on? I want to take it back to the advocates for immigration because, of course, they've all the crazies have come out of the woodwork since the Fifth Circuit has said this. And first, I want to continue. You started to quote Brandi Hoffman from the White House. She's a White House spokeswoman, where she said that the Fifth Circuit chose to misrepresent the facts and the law, right? She went on to say that the president's actions were designed, this blows my mind, the president's actions were designed to bring greater accountability to our broken immigration system, grow the economy, and keep our communities safe. Would somebody please explain to me how expanding amnesty does any of those things?
Let me explain it to you.
Okay.
Let me explain it to you. You've got all these people that are here illegally. We give them amnesty, right? We put them on all of our government programs. We get them enrolled in the education system. They don't help pay for that. We put them on Medicaid. They don't pay for that. We put them on food stamps. We put them on welfare. We give them all these great bennies for being here, okay? So that is spending, okay? Then they're going to tax you, and they're going to tax me, and then they're going to give them money so that they can go spend it. That stimulates the economy. Don't you see?
It just makes my head hurt.
I know, right? I mean, so they're going to steal from us, wash it through the government laundry machine, okay? Washing machine. They're going to take their cut. Then they're going to give it to these poor people, and they're then going to go use government-provided services costing yet more taxpayer dollars, and somehow that's going to be giving us more economic prosperity.
It's sort of like the stimulus spending. We're going to cut the bottom off the blanket and sew it on the top, and that's somehow going to give us. You cannot tax yourself into prosperity. You cannot have an entire group of people taking jobs. I'm honestly taking jobs away from other people. It blows my mind. And here's the point that I wanted to get to. It blows my mind. It absolutely is astounding how progressives, when you talk to them about income inequality. When you talk to them about income inequality, they assume that it's a zero-sum game, that somebody has to win for somebody else to lose.
Yeah.
They
believe the economic pie is finite.
Exactly. When you're talking about income inequality. But then, miracle of miracles, when you start talking about immigration, when you start talking about health care, when you start talking about their pet projects, suddenly the economy is infinite. Because of the benevolence of the father government, of course. But, it is infinite because we will have all these jobs. What group do they think illegal immigrants are going to be taking, in general, going to be taking jobs from?
The poorest of the people in the United States.
Exactly. in the United States.
The laborers.
The laborers, exactly. And yeah. that's what's going on. Okay, so what's our argument about why Baltimore erupted? The argument about why Baltimore erupted is because they don't have enough economic opportunity. Hell, that's why we've got ISIS, is because they don't have enough economic
opportunity. Well, okay, Baltimore is not a good benchmark because the unemployment rate in Baltimore is only 40-some percent. It's only, come on, Chris. I mean, that's economic prosperity compared to Detroit.
That's a good point.
And so, yeah, I mean, and those are both Democrat liberal meccas.
Right.
So you can't claim unemployment at 40% to be an issue as to why Baltimore would erupt. And, you know, let's face it, because we've only got real unemployment in this country pushing 20%.
That's real unemployment. Real. Oh, but they keep telling us it's like, what, four?
I don't know why they just drop it down to zero.
Yeah, I stopped paying attention about a year ago.
At 5.6.
I stopped paying attention at 5.6 because...
Now it's 5.4. And I feel better. I know that. But let's face it, the real unemployment... I know, right? The real unemployment rate is literally pushing 20%. So we're going to import all these immigrants. And that's going to help.
Makes sense.
How?
It's not.
It's going to help them get votes.
It's going. That's all it is going to do is to help them get votes. Now, I usually try not to be the South Park. They took our jobs. You know, I try not to be that person. In my argument against illegal immigration, my biggest problem with illegal immigration is that it's illegal. Okay, you know, I mean, this is our laws provide for how you enter into this country. And if you circumvent those laws, you should be deported to start over again. Get in line. Try it.
You saw that interview with Ann Coulter and that guy. I can't remember who he was. And she just shredded this guy. And he made the comment. He goes, yeah, every citizen of Mexico should be allowed in the United States. And she pretty much shredded him. But that is ultimately what they're after. They just want to annex pretty much Mexico, South America, Central America, South America. And, you know, Canada's doing pretty good. So we really don't need to annex Canada.
They're a little too conservative, I guess.
Well, they outside of their socialized medicine, yeah. You don't really hear a whole lot of squawking coming from Canada.
That's because Canadians are too polite.
Is that what it is?
That is what it is.
I don't know. But, I mean, outside of their socialized medicine, you really don't hear a whole lot of – and they've got these arbitrary, stupid gun control laws, but whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't – there are Canadians that come into the United States, but nothing like the flood. And here's the thing as far as this immigration thing is concerned, real fast. This has been orchestrated by this administration. It's been going on for over 4 years. It's been going on longer than that. It has been an orchestrated, saturation attempt by this administration, all because they want the votes.
All because they want the votes. And so now what they're telling us, they're telling the police, our local law enforcement, to not enforce immigration laws. They're telling law enforcement not to enforce laws. This is absolutely astounding. We'll talk about it when we come back. I'm Chris Cook. I've got Ken Clark of Freedom 560 sitting in studio. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. Got Ken Clark, the inimitable.
What does that mean?
You are not imitatable.
Oh.
Inimitable. It's also one of those
I
words.
I would welcome anyone to try. God.
It's just
and
a
why
fun
would
word
anyone
to say.
Want to?
Oh, well, that's a really good question.
Yeah, I mean, really?
The one and only for a reason. Is that what you're saying? The one and only Ken Clark?
Well, okay.
They broke the mold when they made you.
Yeah, good thing. I think I was still in it, and my head. Never mind. I'm not going down that path. Mom says I was dropped on my. Or I always ask my mom if she dropped me on my head a lot when I was a kid, and she said no, it was my Aunt Barbara.
Aunt Barbara dropped you on your head a lot. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Aunt Barbara, thanks so much.
Yeah,
we have, appreciate you.
We have you to thank for that. Anyway, you're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. If you want to give us a call, 303-477-5600. I want to seg into this, and there's a good connection here from the task force on law enforcement, or between the task force on law enforcement and the immigration amnesty issue, because Obama's policing task force, which he put together after Ferguson, and you've heard about all this, you remember this, well, they came out with their report.
Well, it's funny because the mayor of Baltimore was one of those people that was on this task force. And it was just kind of surprising. She's been on that task force for quite some time, long before the riots in Baltimore erupted. Just coincidence? I don't know. Get your tinfoil hat out. I don't know.
And... Good.
Anyway, just thought, well, food for thought.
You know? And actually, well, I actually want to explore that for a second because I think it is very interesting. I try not, like, also to be a conspiracy theorist. I do really try not to do that. But you get enough of these riots happening in enough of these places, and you've got a pretty darn good argument for the feds taking over local police, don't you?
That is ultimately the goal. They are going to nationalize the police force just like they did the TSA. Okay, right. that is what their goal is. There was an article in the Washington Post today. Cleveland agrees to strict new rules on its police department, and that is a federal task force stepping into Cleveland in order to, I guess it's a test market.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but the city of Cleveland has agreed to have its police department overseen by a quote unquote independent monitor and subject its officers to strict and explicit new rules on the use of force. And this was under a settlement with the Justice Department that was announced yesterday.
Okay, so you know about the incident that started this investigation, right, mm-hmm. from the Department of Justice. I mean, police shot this car with 115 some odd bullets, killed both occupants of the car because the car backfired in front of the police station. That's what they say happened. Now, truth of it is, I don't know, but the result of the manslaughter charge that was filed against the officer in this case was he was determined to be innocent.
Well, was there one officer? Because I dare say it would be really hard.
It was more than one officer. Yeah, there was one officer charged with manslaughter.
It would be really hard for one officer. I mean, think about it.
That's a lot of magazines.
Yeah, that's a lot of mags, man.
You better hold more than 15.
Let's say there's 10 cops. They're going to be – and the typical Glock will hold 15 in its mag. Okay, so let's say they're all shooting Glock 9s. And they've all got one mag. So there's 10 cops standing around all unloading into this car.
Mm-hmm.
How? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
God.
And I will grant you that is a pretty significant use of force. Okay. I think that kind of does go there.
Why didn't they just pull out their grenade launcher and just.
I don't know. Are grenade launchers standard affair for local police departments?
No. Obama's actually banned those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? All right. So they banned that. They're not going to sell surplus military to local police officers or local police departments anymore. In fact, some of our conservative caucus senators tried to pass a bill about that during this last session, right?
Well, yeah. What they were trying to do was demilitarize the regulatory agencies, kind of different from...
Regulatory agencies.
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with the police forces.
Okay. I didn't realize that. And California, they're trying to pass a state law that regardless of what happens with the federal law, that they're not going to sell the surplus military equipment. Californians do not want law enforcement to have any of this stuff. So...
Well, I think
all that to say,
I think all that, and I think Obama's banning the use of military type weaponry for police forces. I think that's a rope-a-dope. I really do. I think that's him coming out and saying police forces, because the internet, everybody all over the airwaves, they're worried about the militarization of the police forces. Right. And we are. A lot of people are. So Obama comes out and says, I'm going to demilitarize the police forces. And I think that is just kind of. I do believe that is a this is what my left hand – watch what my left hand's doing. Do not watch what my right hand's doing because he will attempt to federalize the police forces. And at that time, you can bet he's going to militarize them.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a rope-a-dope or if it's just part of a longer-term strategy.
Yeah.
Because what we've got here, we've now got local law enforcement who have been told not to enforce laws. They've been told not to be part of any sort of immigration enforcement whatsoever, okay, by this task force.
And then they're going to be accused of being ineffective.
They've been told that they will not be provided with surplus military equipment, you know, some stuff they might actually use. Do they need a tank? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But there may be surplus military equipment that would make sense within a law enforcement, local law enforcement context. Now they can't get that. Now this thing in Cleveland, which I think you're right, I think it is a test case, is that these police officers are going to second, third, and fourth guess themselves any single time they think that possibly using force might be necessary. They're going to rethink this decision over and over again. They cannot use any force on a suspect who is running away. And so what you've just told all the criminals in Cleveland is police are not going to have any consequences for you, so go out and do whatever you please. I will not be going to Cleveland. I can guarantee that.
Did you see what happened in Baltimore over the weekend?
20 dead?
Oh, I can't remember the numbers, but yeah, I mean, the murder rate went, it's up 100%. It's up 100%. And the citizens of Baltimore are now sitting there going, the police aren't doing their job and the police are being ineffective. And I'm sitting here scratching my head going, well, why would they when you treat them this way? And, you know, and we've all seen the videos. We've all seen the stuff on YouTube. And we've all seen and we all know of instances of police brutality. We know it.
Absolutely.
Okay, it does happen. And I'm not trying to discount that. But at the same time, you know, when in Baltimore you go after the cops, they went after all cops. Now, were these six guilty? I guess the trial will tell.
And that's where that needs to remain.
And maybe they were. Let's assume for argument's sake that, yes, they were guilty. Okay, so you're going to kill the entire police department?
Pretty much.
And then put them in a situation where they can't do their jobs. Then you're going to get mad at them because they're not doing their jobs. And Obama swoops in.
That's exactly the strategy. I think that's exactly the strategy. I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at defanging all police departments. We're looking at telling all police officers who are out there walking beats and trying to keep our community safe, you cannot do anything effective to actually keep our community safe. You're out there to win hearts and minds.
Let me, well, God, we know how that works with the military. Let me ask you this question. Let's say that that is the agenda and that they do want to make the police departments ineffective nationwide, and where it'll affect people most is the inner cities.
Absolutely.
Okay, and where there's a lot of gang activity, cartel activity, et cetera. So then those cities will know that they have a free-for-all for crime. Do you think that's a prelude or will be an excuse for martial law?
Yeah. I do, actually. You know, and I hesitate to say that only because I have been predicting martial law since 2012, and I've been wrong every single time, thank God. But
did you make a date specific?
Well, I thought it would happen before the 2012 election.
No, I didn't. I figured Obama was going to be a shoo-in. And there's a lot of people out there that believe this Jade Helm thing is a prelude to martial law. I am not one of those people. And simply because I've talked to too many special forces operators who have been involved in Jade Helm. But that Jade Helm is a very different animal than martial law. It is. It's just military training. That's it.
Right.
Okay. Martial law is the executive implementing martial law nationwide. Will they use the military to carry that out? They will probably try. They will probably try to use the National Guard. They will probably use the police forces, which is why you want to federalize the police forces, because then they have to do what the executive tells them.
You want to federalize the police forces, and you want all the regulatory agencies to have armed enforcement officers within them, so that you actually have an executive branch separate from an executive branch police force that is separate from the Department of Defense.
Well, and you know, I know that it's terribly important that the Department of Education has its own SWAT team. They do. The United States Department of Education has its own SWAT team.
Under what possible circumstance could the Department of Education SWAT team be deployed?
Let me paint you a picture.
Okay.
Little Johnny goes to his sixth grade class, and he's got a Pop-Tart, and he bites it in such a fashion that it resembles a gun. You're going to need a SWAT team for that. And who knows? Little Jake may be out on the playground, and he might put his index finger out and stick his thumb up in the air while his three other fingers are pointing back at him, and that's going to resemble a gun. You're going to need a SWAT team.
Okay. Nice try. I mean, seriously, is there any reasonable point in time when the Department of Education would need a SWAT team that would not that the local law enforcement SWAT team would not be sufficient?
The Department of Education has a SWAT team. We've seen the results of the BLM SWAT team and the Forest Services SWAT team.
Yes.
Okay, and that you can take back to the state of Colorado when they're shutting down all those county roads, those public access roads on the western slope. Now I can see why they might BLM might want a SWAT team, because the citizens over there are going to get pissed and they're going to go on those roads anyway.
We know some of those guys.
Yes, we do.
It's absolutely stunning to me. But I do think, and as long as we're pulling out our tinfoil hats here, I do think that we are seeing preludes to a lot of things. And I pray that I'm wrong.
Go back to 1937, 1936, 1935 Germany, and you will see the exact same things implemented in Germany that are being implemented now. That is why you should be afraid.
That's not a good parallel. Did they do gun control back then?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, then we will talk about that next. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. I'm Chris Cook, and I've got Ken Clark sitting in studio with me. If you want to give us a call, 303-477-5600. Love to have you here. Chuck, I do see you. We will get to you after the break on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. I've got Ken Clark, the one and only host of Freedom 560, sitting in studio, rocking out.
Yeah, head banging, Charlie. Way to spin him there, dude.
Little head banging. If you want to join us for this last segment, 303-477-5600, we have Chuck from Golden on the line. Chuck, welcome to Grassroots Radio. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
So yeah, I was just hearing you talk a little bit about martial law and maybe kind of what the cause of that could be. My personal belief is that you just have to watch the global economy.
Okay.
And when you see global economies collapse for various reasons, and you can go on and on and on about what the reasons could be. But, at the end of the day, the common denominator for me is just watching the central banks around the world, whether that's the Bank of Japan or the ECB or the Fed, when they finally admit defeat and they begin to consolidate currency into one currency or into a few currencies,
yeah,
to deal with the global issue, because there's so much global trade, that is the thing that you have to watch out for. And to me, that is what will cause martial law and will cause a lot of stress, because when that happens, then your dollar, your gold, your silver, whatever it is that you own, gets turned in for some amount of money, the new currency, whatever that is, and it's very likely that whatever that new currency is going to be less than what you currently own, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk of that. I mean, they've done that in other countries. They've taken the 401ks and they've pulled out all the equities from it, and they've replaced it with government bonds that are worth like 17 cents on the dollar. Yeah, but they do have a maturity date, so the government feels good about doing that. But he's right. Chuck, I think, is absolutely right. You're going to see Italy, Greece, and Spain, they're going to crumble first.
Right. Well, they're already on the brink, right?
Well, they've already gone bankrupt. They just don't know it yet.
Right.
And so they're blaming it on the euro. They're blaming it on all kinds of things, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. You are going to see a nationalization of the 401ks. You're going to see, they're going to take people. They're already taking people's savings accounts, et cetera. But the thing that I would caution people on is that this is being done for a reason. I mean, this is being done intentionally. The intent is to melt down the United States economy, and with it goes the world, okay? Because only then will the people of the United States be screaming out to the government, save me, save me, save me, and build upon the ashes their socialist utopia.
That is what they're looking for.
That is what they're looking for.
Hey, Chuck, thanks for calling into Grassroots Radio. Help me understand this, Ken. So you're saying that Italy, Greece, and Spain—
They're going to be the first ones to crumble.
But are you saying that what's happening in Italy, Greece, and Spain is actually being coordinated from here in the U.S. purposefully so that they can spread this? Did I misunderstand?
Yeah, you misunderstood me. I don't know that what is being what is happening in Greece, Italy, and Spain is being coordinated by us. Okay, what I'm saying is what's happening in the United States is being done intentionally.
Gotcha.
They are trying to melt down the United States economy, melt down our society so that, because, man, the people are not going to purposely give up our rights and our freedoms, our liberties, our way of life, unless things are so desperate that the government that created all these problems is going to be the one that swoops in to be our savior, and we're going to have socialism. We're going to have the socialism. We're going to have the full and complete implementation of Agenda 21. That is what will happen. But you can't – the people will not ask for that unless we are in massive amounts of peril.
I don't know. To me, it looks like a lot of the people are asking for that now.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, people have forgotten what this country is all about. People have really forgotten why we were started, what we're here for, what our rights are. People don't understand. That's why you and I get on the radio and do what we do.
But there's still an awful lot of resistance out there, Chris. And I think there's still a lot of people with an awful lot of fight left in them. And, you know, you cannot today. I don't know. That's what the Patriot groups are all about.
Right.
You know, they're not about trying to take over the government. That's not what they're trying to do. They're simply trying to protect themselves from the government. Okay, and I had a guy on the air with me today who was a victim of regulatory agencies. He had a cancer. He owned a lab that detected different strains of cancer. He had over 100,000 clients. I mean, all over the country.
Wow.
And some guy called him and said, "Hey, 9,000 of your clients, their information's all over the internet. $4,500 a month, and I'll solve the problem for you." And he said, "No." And the guy kept trying to extort this money from him, wouldn't give him any details, et cetera. So that extortionist turned him over to the federal government. Daryl Issa just came out with a congressional report based on this case earlier last week.
You're kidding me.
It took him 5 years to fight it. But the government, this guy turned this cancer research center over to this guy, turned it over to the government, and the government went after him with no basis in fact whatsoever. So when you see things like that, and you hear about the IRS arbitrarily taking people's bank accounts, and you see the police seizing assets without a conviction, and all of these different things, it leads you to one conclusion, that they've got the boot on the neck of the American citizen.
Right.
And they're going to keep going until we push them back. But a lot of people are pushing back.
It's true. That is true. And that is, I think, and then for me, we alluded to gun control right before we went to the break. I think in a lot of ways, and all you Second Amendment guys out there are going to kill me for this, but in a lot of ways, my personal fight for the Second Amendment is almost symbolic. It's not that I don't want to own a gun. I do own a gun, and that is, you know, I mean, I want to be able to protect myself. But it is also that firearm to me is a symbol of I still preserve this American, you know, this natural right that is guaranteed to me under the American Constitution. And so for me, it has almost a little bit more of a meaning than just a way to protect myself should somebody break into my house.
Well, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. But you're let's face it, you're a hardcore conservative. So a conservative, when they don't want to own a gun, they don't go buy one. When a liberal doesn't want to own a gun, they want to ban everybody else from having a gun as well.
Right. Which works so well.
Yeah, therein lies the difference. You had talked about Chicago, and what was that, 50 people shot?
There were 50 people shot in Chicago, 20 in New York City, and 24 in Baltimore over the weekend, over the Memorial Day weekend, a three-day period.
That's more than Iraq.
I think it is. I mean, so that's 82 people in three cities in the United States. Chicago has the most restrictive gun control laws in the nation, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so
outside of Washington, D.C., yes, and maybe Virginia.
And I wonder how many
or New Jersey, rather.
And I wonder how many people were shot in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, but they won't release that, I'm sure. And the thing is that Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor of Chicago, of course, the president's former chief of staff and the guy who said you never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Rahm Emanuel has come out saying that the epic failure of gun control, I'm paraphrasing, the epic failure of gun control in Chicago means we need more gun control in Chicago. It's weapons-grade stupidity, as you said. You know,
yeah.
it's
To coin a line I saw, I can't remember where, but yeah, I use that line a lot. It is weapons-grade stupidity because they've got the strictest gun control laws anywhere in the nation. They've got the highest murder rate per capita of anywhere in the world, one of the highest in the world.
Right.
Yet they somehow think that by doubling down on stupid, they're going to solve the problem.
And
that's like cutting off your leg and trying to teach someone how to run.
that's yeah. It really is. It's tying both hands of any sort of law enforcement, any sort of consequences. And this is what we're looking for. We want people to obey the law, meaning we don't want people to violate each other's rights. That's what criminal activity does. Okay, well, when the laws are legitimate, that they're
when you have that
violating.
Kind of criminals don't obey the law. Hence
Bingo.
The definition of being a criminal. So you can pass all the laws you want. And you're not going to get that guns out of the hands of criminals.
Exactly.
I mean, last time I checked, wasn't murder illegal? So
yeah.
Why then do you need gun control laws?
It's illegal.
By their own logic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You outlaw guns, they still have guns, so you make more. So what? You're going to make murder even more worse if it's a hate crime, because now we have to get the thought police in
there.
Well,
let's not get into that. We'll get into that next time you come in.
My point being, they just keep passing all these more and more laws to pile on top, and they don't do any good because criminals are going to be criminals.
Well,
that's what they do.
What I want to get back to is I think criminals will be less likely to be criminals if they know that there will be consequences if they commit that criminal act. So if they are not sure whether or not that citizen they're about to mug has a firearm hidden under their coat, if they are not sure that the police who they just passed around the corner are not going to come at them with a use of force, if they are not positive about both of those things, then they may think twice before mugging that citizen. They may think twice before committing that criminal act. That's what guns That's the deterrent force of guns. That is the deterrent force of law enforcement. You defang both of those things. You allow criminals to run the country.
In Australia, they banned guns. We all know that.
Right.
And immediately, hot burglaries, meaning the homeowners were home, hot burglaries went up 140% in the first year.
Jeez.
Why? Because the criminals knew that they weren't going to get shot.
There's no consequence.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no consequence.
An armed society is a polite society, to coin another one.
That
thanks for having
great.
Me today. It's
hey,
been fun.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. It always goes very fast when you're here. So it's a lot of fun. You got anything big tomorrow on your show?
Yeah, but I just closed down my computer, so I don't even have time. There's always something big on my show.
Always something. Abby
you
Davis, Jim Phillips, and Molly Vogt on Freedom 560 tomorrow. So join Ken at 1 o'clock here on Freedom 560.
Friday, I'm going to have Secretary of State Wayne Williams on with me. That ought to be fun.
That'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like giving him a hard time.
I'll be back tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. We've got Anthony Esselin, and then we've also got Andy and Corey Pate from the Party of Choice. We're going to be talking about the death penalty, I think. It's going to be a really interesting show. So join me here at 6 p.m., and of course, you're going to want to listen to the entire Liberty lineup. We've got the Liberty lineup that starts at 5 a.m. with Wake Up with Randy Corporan. You come on at 1, Ken, and then at 3, we've got John Rush to Reason. I'll come on at 6 on here on Grassroots Radio Colorado.